Thanks for joining us for this week's message from Family Church. Now, if this ministry has impacted your life in some way, we would love to hear your story. Just email your story to us at changedlife@familychurch.tv. Also, if you would like to become a financial supporter in doing ministry to keep broadcasts like this one coming to you every week, be sure to head to our website and click on the Give tab, and there you'll find the option that best fits you. Now, here's this week's message. We hope that it blesses you in some way.
I am glad that you're here. We are glad that you're here tonight, and I do hope that you're glad that you're here tonight. I feel like I've got a word for January 2019. I pray that it ministers to you. Let's ask for some help. Let's pray. Father, we do just come to you tonight, and Lord, so many of us are probably on so many different levels and so many different places and going through so many different things, some good, some bad, maybe some even ugly. But tonight, God, we're here. And tonight, Lord, you have said in your word, where two or three are gathered in your name, you are here. And so, God, we welcome you in this place. And we say, Holy Spirit, minister to us. Be our intercessor, our guide, our teacher, as we look into your word, not only look into it, as we dive into it. Because, God, it is the source of life, and it is the letter that you've written to each and every one of us individually, a love letter right from you to us. And so, God, as we dive into that love letter, let us leave here full tonight in Jesus' name. And if you agreed with that, would you join me by saying amen? Amen. Pastor Larry mentioned Sunday that we should finish the year empty, as doing so means we gave our all towards 2018. And you know what? I agree completely. How many of you agree with that statement? I never really heard it before. But I believe that. That's good. However, it's a new year. It's 2019, right? Anybody got it right on checks yet or signing signatures yet? I'm still working on that one. But maybe you're here, or it's a new year, right? We can't stay empty, can we? Because we got a new year to take on, 2019. But maybe you're here tonight, and as we find ourselves on the eve of January 9th, you still feel empty. You feel drained. You are not alone. And you have not been there alone. You are in good company for sure. And I want to look at a couple of people you might recognize that have been in that exact same position as you maybe might be tonight. I want to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. If you brought your Bibles, whether it's on your phone or, you know, an actual Bible, you know, the things they're going to put in the historic museum someday because they no longer exist. That's supposed to be a joke, but it didn't really go over that well. But thanks, James. I appreciate sympathy laughs. We find the story of Elijah. How many know Elijah? In this passage, we find actually right before what we're going to read, we find Elijah right after one of the most thrilling miracles that Elijah ever performed, backed by another. I mean, this is back to back, double feature, all right? Because it had not rained, as Elijah had told King Ahab, for 3.5 years. Elijah called a fire show of God versus Baal, and God won hands down. Then Elijah told Ahab it was going to rain, and it did. So all of that happened. Go Elijah, right? And this is where we pick up the story. When Ahab had got home, and this is 1 Kings 19, starting with verse 1. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. Yeah, I left that part out. Verse 2, so Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you have killed them."
Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. And then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down underneath a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. I'd say that's pretty empty, would you not? Isn't it funny how just a day ago, Elijah was probably on cloud nine, right? And yet, like that, it turns empty. We find another story very similar to Elijah's situation. David and his men are returning to Ziklag only to be faced with some very horrific events. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, it says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, and I'm going to butcher it because I don't know, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. All their family, wives, and children gone. They come home to an empty nest. Both of these men, Elijah and David, are at their end. Can you imagine how drained they must have felt at that very moment in time? In each of these stories. So tonight, if you find yourself there, you're in good company. But these men didn't stay there, and neither do you have to either. So tonight, my message tonight is entitled, Fully Charged. And I told Linda B., I am not a great message entitler. And so I asked her, you know, I told her what my message was going to be about. And I said, Linda B., maybe you can have a great revelation of what my title is going to be by 3 o'clock today. And she didn't. But God fell through, or came through. Actually, I forgot to even ask her. So it wasn't her fault. But God came through at the 11th hour, fully charged. I want to look at a few things how we can lose the drained feeling and plug in to be filled up as we take on a new year. All right, can you follow me with this? And I think we can do it in the time that we have. The first thing I want to look at that I think is very important if we want to lose the drained feeling, if we want to go into 2019 fully charged, first thing, we have to unplug from the world. We have to unplug from the world. Now, in the day and age of electric and hybrid vehicles, solar paneled homes and buildings and wind power, I'm learning more about how energy works that I never knew before. And I've been told that if something that begins to generate energy on its own is greater than the feed coming in on the grid, it will back into the grid. And if I know this right and getting all of this right, and you can correct me, all you guys that maybe know more than me, which probably doesn't take much, not any insignificance to you, but they call that backfeed. Am I right? Okay. Oh, there's our expert. Yeah, I didn't even think of you, Kenny. Yeah, okay. So backfeed. Now, when we have energy, an energy source that is powerful, as it is with Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in us, that's power. How many remember Acts 1:8? And Jesus said, you will receive power. And how many of you heard me preach on this, that word is actually the Greek word for dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. So we're not talking little power, we're talking big power. And you know what? We possess more power than what the world has. But unlike, and it backfeeds, but unlike the energy company who pays you, okay, the electric company who pays you when it backfeeds, the world doesn't do that. In fact, it'll suck you dry. That's why it's important to unplug from the world. So my question to you tonight is, what are things that are sucking the life out of you? What are the things that are sucking the life out of you? Well, we can find a pretty good list of some things that have the potential to suck the life out of us, found in Galatians 5. Okay? Now, some of you have been around church a while. You know Galatians 5. You might even have sung songs in Sunday school about Galatians 5. I remember the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you ever in Sunday school sang any songs about the fruit of the Spirit? Okay, I've got some back here in the back that have done that. We're going to start before that. Galatians 5:19, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. There's a huge list of life suckers that we can be drawn into. But tonight, there's something else I want to go over. Actually, probably like many of you, when you ended or started to end December 2018, come to the end, maybe you got on your phone and went to your YouVersion app and started to look at maybe some devotions for the next year. Because I know my Bible in 1 year app was just about to close up. So I went in and guess what I did? I went into my plan Bible in 1 year 2019. This is my third year now. So I've read through the Bible twice, okay, in the past 2 years. I'd done it before the old-fashioned way because I got the book, you know, but this time I got this. And so this is my third year of going through the entire Bible, okay? Bible in 1 year, 2019, I did that, and all of a sudden I started looking at some things. Because it says, it's when you go into it and you're looking at plans, it also says, somewhere, I can't find it now. Find plans. That's what it is. It's a tab at the top. There's my plans and there's find plans. How many have been in here besides me that know what I'm talking? Okay. All right. So you're relating to this. I'm like, I'm not going to talk about this if nobody has a clue. Okay. But in here, I found one because I have some issues that I need to deal with personally. Okay. And I found one. I was looking for certain categories and I found one that I thought was really good. And I'm almost thinking, memory serves me right, that we've had a small group that has actually went through this book. The book is by Andy Stanley and the devotional was by Andy Stanley and it's called Enemies of the Heart. Anybody know that book or have went through it? Okay. Quite a few hands. I saw one. Ashley shot hers up. I thought her arm was going to come out of the socket there. Andy lists some things that has the potential to suck the life out of you. The first one on the list that I read about in this devotional was anger. Let that one sink in a little bit. What transformed David Banner into the Hulk? How many are old enough to remember when that wasn't just a movie, but it was actually a TV miniseries? I used to watch it every Friday night. Dukes of Hazzard, Dallas, The Hulk. It seems like there was one other one, and then Creature Feature came on, and that was too much for me because it gave me nightmares, so I was gone after that. Anger, right? Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. How many remember that? Come on. Some of these guys quote movie things, and I'm out of there, but I remember my old TV series. Anger. Anger can bring the Hulk out of all of us, can't it? This happened to me. This one hit home. If I'm really honest, this one was the one I chose to use this devotional in the first place. Because I let anger control me
when I was very young. My mom died right before my 10th birthday. I blame someone. I blame God. I said it was his fault. And I got angry. And I fed that anger. And it wasn't fun. It didn't bring me to a great place in my life. Until I realized something very important, that it wasn't God that took my mom in the first place. And I chose not to be angry anymore. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." And I am standing proof that that is truth, because he had a foothold in my life for over a year. I let him have a foothold in my life for over a year. And it's one of the most miserable years that I can ever remember. Andy Stanley says, "Show me an angry person and I'll show you a hurt person." Yeah. "And I guarantee you that person is hurt because something has been taken." He's starting to read my mail here. "Somebody owes them something. We all know people whose anger could be verbalized in one of the following ways. You took my reputation. You stole my family. You took the best years of my life. You stole my first marriage. You robbed me of my teenage years. You robbed me of my purity. You owe me a raise. You owe me an opportunity to try. You owe me a second chance. You owe me affection." You see, anger says, "You owe me." The root of anger is the perception that something has been taken, something is owed you, and now a debt-to-debtor relationship has been established. How long are we going to let people who have hurt us control our lives? It's not them that you're imprisoning, it's you. Are you going to stand another month, another year, another season of your life? How long? Another one that can suck the life out of you is guilt. Guilt is the result of having something done we perceive as wrong. I owe you. Andy Stanley said this, "Nothing less than paying that debt will relieve a guilty heart of its burden of guilt. People try to work it off, serve it off, give it off, and even pray it off. But no amount of good deeds, community service, charitable giving, or Sundays in a pew can relieve the guilt. It's a debt, and it must be paid or canceled for a guilty heart to experience relief." Guilt can and will suck the life right out of you. A third one is greed. Greed is very dangerous due to it being very subtle. It isn't one that necessarily stares us in the face, but it's one that's there. I owe me. Worldly wealth and goods. I like nice things. I can relate to this one. People say, "You're not a greedy person." It may not show, but I like stuff. And I like nice stuff. Luke 12, then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Greed can sneak in and take control when people are consumed with the thought that your life is pretty much the sum total of what you own. Or your happiness depends on the things you possess. Sometimes we can let this come in and we not even realize it. Sometimes
We can say, I'm not a greedy person. But yet we can't give up clicking check out on Amazon. Another one that can suck the life out of us is jealousy. God owes me. James 4:2, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. When we think about jealousy or envy, we immediately think of the things that others have that we lack. Looks, skills, opportunities, health, height, inheritance. We assume our problem is the person who possesses what we lack. But let's face it, God could have fixed all that for us. Whatever he gave your neighbor, he could have given to you. That's why you may feel inside that he owes you. Think about these things. Anger, guilt, greed, jealousy. Are these any you can identify that are sucking the life out of you tonight? I'm not looking for a show of hands. Smile and nod. No, 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 I'm talking about you. We have to unplug from these things or these people or places that are feeding those things, working in our lives, or they will continue to suck the life out of us, leaving you completely empty. So the first point, unplug from the world. But to just unplug does nothing for us to position us to the place and prepare us to experience the miraculous, as Pastor Larry has been talking about Sunday. It doesn't. So we can't just unplug, can we? We have to do some more. I want to talk about five things, and I think we can do it and still get you out on time. Everybody said thank you. Five things we need to do to get fully charged and prepare us to be positioned for the miraculous. Ready for the first one? All you note takers? The first one is to plug in. Wait a minute, you just said unplug. You're right, unplug from the world and plug in to God's power source. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." How do we plug in to God's power source? In the Bible, in the book of Acts, if you start reading that book, anybody take a challenge? Pastor Larry said he's been reading through the book of Acts. Anybody else decided to jump on that bandwagon with him? That's a good bandwagon to jump on, by the way. Acts is a good, good book. It's the Acts of the Apostles, but it really should be labeled Acts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in my Bible, my New American Standard Bible, that's exactly what I did, is I crossed out Apostles and I put Holy Spirit above it. We have to plug in to God's power source. And daily, the people back in the early church would come together. Daily, they would come together. And you think it's bad when we have Sunday night and Wednesday night, or Sunday morning and Wednesday night church. They would come daily to church. Why? Because they knew that was a source of power. It's how they connected. It's how they plugged in. Because it's more than just God. It's also one another. It's coming together. Well, preacher, I can worship God. I can plug in at my home in my lazy boy and be just fine. I don't need church. You can, but you're missing it. You know, I have more fun on Wednesday nights when I'm out there in the foyer rubbing shoulders with all of you.
It encourages me. It lifts me up. Just to see a smile on somebody else's face. Just to hug my brother. It encourages me. You can't get that from your lazy boy. We got to plug in to God's power source. And you may say, preacher, I'm here. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Because you're not here on a Sunday morning. You're here on a Wednesday night. I get that. And so here's what I'm going to do. It's also more than just coming to church. It's plugging in. It's plugging into the dream team. It's plugging into small groups. It's plugging in to classes. And we got quite a few of those going on around here, especially in January. Financial Peace University is just about to start up, and you are not too late to sign up for that. I told somebody, he's not here tonight, or I'd say his name. I told him, he's 19, 20, 21-year-old kid, grew up in my ministry. And I told him, I said, Alex, I said, what if I told you, if you invested $100, I could make you a millionaire? Do you think that'd be a good deal? Yeah. I said, okay, if you invest $100, I can make you a millionaire. And it's true. Sign me up, Pastor. Okay, go sign up for Financial Peace. It's not too late. God wants you to live in peace with your finances. You say, is this actually preaching or is this a plug for groups? Well, it's both. Because stuff happens more in Financial Peace University than just getting your finances straight. That's enough, but there's more that happens there. It's a marriage class in disguise. It's a connection place where you can rub shoulders with people that you'd never have known before. You can hear stories about from people who are going through the same kinds of things that you are, and stories from people that went through the same kind of things you are and overcame them, and how they did it, and apply the same principles and watch them happen in your life. I could bring about 4 people up here on this stage right now, give them a mic, and they can tell you that that's true right now. And I'd do it if I didn't have but 13 minutes. There's a group called Defeating Your Past. And it starts in January 21st on Monday night. And it's an excellent way to get through some stuff you may be, but baggage that you may be, have been carrying around for years. And in the process, you could get to know people that you see on a regular basis, but you don't really know them. Plug in. Get connected. There's something for everyone. Our goal is to offer so many small groups and classes and ministries, not so everyone is involved in all of them, but there is something for everyone to get involved in that meets you. That's our goal. I don't know that we're there yet, but that's our goal. The second thing we need to do to be fully charged is to recharge in God's presence. Recharge in God's presence. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David was now in great danger. This is continuing our story just a little bit. Because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Another version of this actually says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Kevin, what do you mean? Encouraged himself. He got into God's presence and he began to praise and he began to worship. And he encouraged himself because it reminded him of how big his God is. And how small his problems really are. Preacher, his problems were big. They were about to kill him. All their families were gone.
That's big. Yeah, but my God's bigger. And when we plug into his presence, we get a new perspective. We get a better perspective that recharges our batteries. How do you know this? Well, let's go on. How many of you have gotten into God's presence? Let me ask it this way. How many of you have ever come to church on a Sunday? I'm going to say this nicely, a little grumpy. Keep that hand up and hold up the other hand if you left different. Okay, the ones that only have one hand down, come see me later, okay? God's presence changes things. I used to tell the kids when I would come to church, I said, there's some Sundays I don't want to be here. And they'd look at me funny and they'd giggle. But it's true. There are some Sundays I don't want to be here. It's kind of like that guy that was in bed one Sunday morning. His mom came in and said, get up, it's time to go to church. She came in 15 minutes later and said, get up, it's time to go to church. Third time she said, son, get up, it's time to go to church. And he said, I don't want to go to church. People are mean at church. She says, son, you're the pastor. You have to get up and go to church. I'll tell you, there's some days pastors don't feel like going to church. Some days people are mean. Some days you just don't want to. Some days you just don't feel like it. But I've never come to church and left here with that same attitude. Why? Because God's presence changes us. It gets the flesh out of us. We can't get out of the flesh. It gets us out of living in the flesh and gets us living by the Spirit. Is that a better phrase? That would be Pastor Larry approved. Okay. The next thing. So we talked about plugging in, getting connected. We talked about recharging. The third thing I want to talk about, five things, is reset. Reset. You know, sometimes this phone is really, really good. And sometimes it's like demon possessed. And it like does things that it should not do. And I don't know how to fix it because it won't ever do what it's supposed to do. And so you know what I do then? There's this little thing you go into, and you go into settings, and you go to general, and you scroll all the way to the bottom, and it says reset. And you know what it can do? I hit that button, and it says reset all settings. Erase all content and settings. It gets serious sometimes. Some serious resetting going on there. But there's a reset button. And when I reset things, you know what? Most of the time, the demons go away. And it works again. How do we reset? We got to look into God's word to reset. Romans chapter 12 says it this way. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Some versions say that by renewing your mind. What is that? Reset. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What does that look like? Well, if you're dealing with anger, we can go to Ephesians chapter 4. And it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, and as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You see, dealing with anger, the word says we simply make up our mind to cancel the debt. You decide and declare
you don't owe me anymore. You identify where you're at, who you're angry with, determine what they owe you, cancel the debt by forgiving them, and then don't let anger build up again. Reset. I let go of my anger that I had towards God about my mom. And it freed me. You see, forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to find out the prisoner was you. And for over 12 months, I was imprisoned. But when I forgive, when I release, when I reset, and I look to God's word, and I choose to forgive, and I choose to not hold the grudge and not hold the debt, it sets me free. Guilt, I owe you. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You see, confession has the power to break guilt over our lives. But it's only looking into God's word that I can really see that. Yes, we confess our sins to God, but also to the people we've sinned against. And when you do that, you reset. Greed, I owe me. Luke 12:15, remember, beware, guard against every kind of grief. Life is not measured by how much we owe. You see, generous giving will break the grip of greed on your life. Andy Stanley says, so whether or not you think you have extra, give and give generously. You've got to give to the point that it forces you to adjust your lifestyle. And you will break greed over your life. I like stuff. I like to give more. How many have been there? You've heard it said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's true. If you've ever received and if you've ever given, you know which feels better to you. It's fun to get stuff. To me, it's a little humiliating. It's a little humbling. Not humiliating, it's humbling. Because I wasn't raised that way. I was raised when somebody gave, oh, I can't take this. That's the way I was raised. If I didn't earn it, if I didn't deserve it, if I didn't do something for it. So it's humbling. Man, it's good to give. It's a double blessing. When we give, and that breaks greed in our life, and we reset. Jealousy, God owes me. James 4 says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war and take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You see, we see in God's word when we stop coveting what others have and start asking God for what he knows is best for you. There are things that God wants to bless you with that are better than the Joneses have or whoever it is. Even if you think you really want him. Because God really does know you. And he desires to give you the things that really bless you. Scotty Mack could maybe care less about it. But it blesses me. He doesn't want to withhold any good thing from you. That's what the word says. But when we start looking to others and what they have and comparing it to what we have and we start longing to see their stuff, we really miss out on the best stuff that God has for us. So do you see, for all of those things that can trip us up, that can leave us drained, when we look to God's word, there's something that can reset those things in our life. How do we do that? Through God's word. Through applying God's word. Practically. How many have heard that before? Practically applying God's word to all of those things that are trying to suck the life out of us. If we apply God's word to them, it'll reset and put us in a place where we're recharged instead of drained. Are you following me so far? The fourth thing, these last two go quick. Don't look at the time, I promise. The fourth thing that I have to do in order to really get fully charged and do something is power on. Right? This thing does me no good if I don't power it on. How do we do that? We go out in the Spirit. Not on our own. Not doing it our own way. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see, Jesus knew. He said, he told even Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. And that's why Adam was, or Eve was created. But you know what? God also knew it wasn't good to send us out into the world alone. And so he sent the Holy Spirit. And no longer in Elijah's day, the Holy Spirit would come on them and then would leave. Came on Mary and it left. Came on Elijah and it left. Came on Elisha and he prophesied and it left. But he said, that's not good enough. I don't want them just to have a mantle. He said, I want the Holy Spirit not on them. I want the Holy Spirit in them. Power on. Go in the Holy Spirit and let him be your helper. Let him be your guide. Let him be your power source. And then the last one, repeat. Do it again. What do you mean by that? Plug in, recharge, reset. Power on. Plug in, recharge, reset, power on. I have to do it almost every night to my phone. Right? You need it too. Probably daily. We don't always get church daily, but we need it more than just Sunday. We probably need it more than just Wednesday. That's why I think small groups and places to connect around here are so important. Because we need each other. We need to connect. We need to hear somebody else's story. We need to understand that I'm not alone. Because that is the enemy's number one tactic. You're the only one. Come on, be honest with me. How many have ever heard that voice besides me? I'm the only one going through this. No one understands. Devil's always picking on me. And I look to Scotty Mack, and he's sitting over here blessed, and man, he's just, life is good. He's got a smile on his face, and inside I'm putting on a good act. You don't know the act that Scotty Mack's putting on either, do you? We're all hurting in one way or another. But you know what? Hurting doesn't have to drain you. That's why we need one another. Because then we can have each other's back, right, Scotty Mack? I have his back, and I know he has mine. In fact, I texted him today, can you call me ASAP? And you know what? He was on the phone. Some of you can maybe understand why if you saw my Facebook post. But we're not going to dwell on that tonight. If you're in this place, would you stand up? You'll make me go quicker. If you're in this place tonight, my conclusion is blank. I didn't have anything down, so now it's just all ad hoc. I couldn't write anything down. I tried, and I just couldn't write anything down. But tonight, if you're in this place and you feel drained, don't leave that way. Don't leave that way. If you didn't take notes and you need some notes, come see me. I'll text them to you. I'll email them to you. If you need this, you don't have to leave here drained tonight. No, you can't accomplish all of this stuff tonight and be fully charged tonight before you leave, but you don't have to leave here drained. Because God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to leave here with you. And he wants to give you a plan to get fully charged. We should not be affected by things around us because God's made us to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. But we gotta be fully charged. So tonight, if you're feeling drained, if you just want to close your eyes and if you just want to lift your hands, I believe God is here tonight. I believe the Spirit of God is here tonight. And I believe he wants to take that first step with you tonight to maybe even supernaturally just quick charge so we're not fully drained when we leave here. Father God, I thank you for all of these people that I love so dearly that are such a blessing around here. And I know, God, that life sometimes, the world sometimes isn't fair. And it can be downright nasty. And there can be storms, and there can be surprises. And it can leave us feeling like we just want to run into the wilderness, sit down under a broom tree and die. But Lord, you don't want those to be our life's sum total. Lord, you want us fully charged. And so tonight, I raise my hands and I lift them up to you and I say, Spirit of God, come to all of us. And Lord, do a work in us. Position us, prepare us for the miraculous. I know that means there's work that we have to do. We have to make the choice to plug in. We have to make the choice to recharge in God's presence and not just go through the motions of sitting in a chair and clapping or singing or even lifting hands. We have to choose to be engulfed in God's presence. We have to choose to reset. And those are sometimes not easy choices for any of us, but God, I believe that tonight people are making choices because they're tired of feeling drained. They're tired of visiting the broom tree. They're tired of finding themselves in the city of Ziklag empty. And so tonight, Holy Spirit, download a plan to prepare and position us for you to do the miraculous in us, in our families. And Lord, that it wouldn't stop there. But God, as we get fully charged and we go out in the Spirit, we'll begin to be that thermostat in our workplaces, be that thermostat in our homes, in our extended families, with our friends. Things would change. because we're there. And no longer are we drained, but we're full. God, that's my prayer for all of these tonight. And just receive that. And tonight, as we go home, I ask you to listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you, because I believe he can and he will if you listen. And he'll give you that plan, and he'll show you exactly the little changes that need to be done. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.